This is Forces Radio.
This is BFBS.
BFBS, original Forces programs.
Hoot and Roar, 100 years of 84 Squadron.
When you receive that call, it's all good. I love that atmosphere. It's really good working under that pressure.
He said, I've got this young wife and she's pregnant. We think she might be starting. It's not a panic, Reg. He said, but if we could pop her in one of your helicopters and take her down to Akrotiri, that'd be grand.
Last year, the biggest fires that Cyprus has seen in living memory, 84 Squadron were heavily involved in fighting those.
To be the last SAR unit with such a huge amount of assets flying off for here at the minute is great.
Out of the 605 of 84, that went out to the Far East, 12 got to Australia, 132 got back to India, where the squadron was reformed. Now the rest were either killed or taken prisoner, and a lot of those ended up on the Burma Railway.
We're probably very similar characters to those that first started flying on 84 Squadron.
The year is 1917. The Royal Air Force is yet to be established. The British military is deep into the First World War, and 84 Squadron is formed in Bewley, Hampshire. In this centenary year, we reflect on the voyage of the Gallant Scorpion, the RAF's last remaining search and rescue squadron, or SAR, as they call it. I'm Jess Bracey from Forces Radio BFBS, and our resident historian for this original Forces programme is Flight Lieutenant Ben Welch, second in command at 84 Squadron at RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus.
Formed as a Royal Flying Corps unit initially, flying SE-5As, which are a biplane. Reconnaissance and Fighter Squadron initially, formed so that they could send air power out to the Western Front. The squadron's quite unique in that it has never returned to the UK since that initial posting away.
The squadron would be credited with destroying 129 enemy aircraft, 50 enemy balloons, and drove down 132 enemy aircraft out of control. 84 Squadron produced 25 aces, that's a military aviator or airman who shot down five or more enemy aircraft. One notable pilot was Captain A.W. Beauchamp Proctor. He was awarded the Victoria Cross on 30th of November 1918. A victor in 26 decisive combats, he proved himself conqueror of 54 foes. He made a huge impression on the squadron, and his exploits are the stuff of legends.
As World War II started, again, Middle East into the Mediterranean then, a bit in Greece, a bit in Egypt, and into Iraq and Syria as it is nowadays. There was another period of disbandment for a little while and then re-established. Again, air policing roles before then coming to Cyprus in 1972, operating helicopters, and it's stayed here ever since.
Currently sat in the briefing room, surrounding us is plenty of books from previous years.
We've got a lot of photo albums in here, stretching right back to World War One and some of the pictures that were taken in those operations and theatres, all the way up to the present day. A real strong link to the past of the squadron, which is quite unique.
And I also hear that you've got a pair of bloomers somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. So in the 1920s, a woman who was unfortunately in an air accident was sat in the Western Desert waiting, hopefully, for somebody to come and find her. And 84 Squadron did. So as thanks for coming and rescuing her from the desert, she donated the bloomers that she was wearing at the time to the squadron. And they are still in the squadron, known as Jane's Panties.
Jane's Panties. And where are Jane's Panties? Whereabouts are they?
Jane's Panties have pride of place in the squadron history corridor.
Bloomers aside, their first battle honours were awarded years earlier during the Somme. The honours continued to be handed to the squadron between World War I, the interwar years, and World War II, including Iraq and Syria.
One of the best periods in the squadron's history was when it was commanded by squadron leader Arthur Gill. And in that time, he himself led 1,476 operational sorties, flying the Vengeance. And he also managed to arrange for the squadron to have a Spitfire, which they called the Seeker. And they would fly that aircraft over target areas to see if it was a good target for bombing and see if the weather was suitable.
Squadron leader Gill served in Sumatra, India and Burma during World War II.
On the 2nd of January 1942, we were hastily pulled out of the desert. re-equipped with new Blenheim 4 aircraft and was seen off to the Far East to fight the Japanese. But of course that war was lost before we got there, and we only lasted 3 weeks. We lost 24 Blenheims, and out of 605 officers and airmen, 12 got to Australia in an open boat, and I managed to get out of Sumatra on the last ship to leave, the Yoma, with 132 officers and airmen. Now the rest were either killed or taken prisoner, and a lot of those ended up on the Burma Railway and in prison war camps. We reformed the squadron in India.
Forces Radio. Hoot and Roar. 100 years of 84 Squadron. BFBS.
Steve Graham was a singer based in Hull, and in 1970 gave a short talk on Army, Naval and Air Force songs. The song Tri-Bar Blues is sung to the tune of A Little Bit of Heaven. Its lyrics include lines such as, "I've got those Tri-Bar Blues, I'm fed up and brassed off and I'm browned. I've been living here for close upon 3 years and wish I was in my coffin underground." The song references 84 Squadron's time in Tri-Bar, Iraq, where it was based for 12 years from 1928. So you've still got a lot of memorabilia. What's the most bizarre or interesting piece do you think you've got in the collection?
I think the best piece that we have is what's called the Log of the Scorpion, which is the captain's log of an escape mission, effectively from Java.
The Forces Broadcasting Service presents The Voyage of the Scorpion, a dramatised story from the actual logbook of 84 Squadron, Royal Air Force. The year was 1942. The Japanese invasion of the Far East had begun in the last month of 1941. The Imperial forces had marched into Malaya, and Sarawak and Hong Kong had fallen.
My name's Derry Whitaker. I was on 84 Squadron from 78 to 81 as a corporal radio engineer. A lot of people were taken prisoner of war in Burma, and one particular young man, on the night before his 21st birthday, went to sleep under a corrugated sheet with some other people. That's all there was. And he knew from the illness and disease he had, his treatments and the food he was getting and everything, that he was going to die. And he thought, what has it come to? Tomorrow I'm 21, I'm not going to be here much longer. And when he woke up in the morning, on his chest were 10 cigarettes. And he used those cigarettes to barter for food and medication and better treatment from the guards. And he survived. And he told this story about 20 years ago in Cyprus in the bar about 2 o'clock in the morning. He knows that all 10 cigarettes came from 84 Squadron people, but he did say, that's what 84 Squadron means to me.
At home in Britain, the morale of the nation was being kept aloft by a man the nation and many people overseas had come to admire and respect, the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill.
We have our great preoccupation here in Europe, but at the same time, everything that our resources, everything that forethought can do, has been done to prepare for this long-threatened storm in the Far East, which has now broken upon us.
The squadron were based in Java and lost all its aircraft to land attack in 1942. The aircrew were all moved to Tilikjap, which is a port on the south coast, for evacuation, waiting for a boat. One never arrived, so they commandeered their own, got into a lifeboat, and then their aim was to row and sail all the way to Fraser Island in Australia, which they pretty much managed to do. They were intercepted by an American warship with about 300 miles to go, which annoyed them quite a bit because they could pretty much see Australia at that point.
There is a short epilogue to this amazing feat carried out by the 12 men of 84 Squadron. On April the 23rd, when the party had reached Perth, orders were given for a United States submarine, the Sturgeon, to call at Scorpion Cove in Japanese-occupied Java to pick up the 84 Squadron air crews who had been left there waiting for help. There was no sign of a cross on the beach, which was to denote a voluntary departure. The epilogue reads, "So the fate of the stranded air crews of the squadron is problematical. Thus, apart from personal satisfaction and the escape of 12 members of the squadron, the voyage of the Scorpion was a failure, for though help was sent within the time limit, the rescue of the remainder was not effected." Soon afterwards, 84 Squadron was reformed to full strength in India and went on to gain credit for valuable work in the war effort.
A fantastic bit of history, and it logs every single day they were on board, from the sea states they encountered to a rather cheeky bird which decided to join them for a little bit of the trip and try and get in on the rations. The squadron post World War One has pretty much always been out in theatres where the Scorpion has been around. So every single theatre we've been in, Scorpions have been native to them. That's why we have a Scorpion.
And hoot and roar is the motto. Do you know what that's about?
No, and I'm yet to find somebody that does, but it's always good to shout it. If somebody knows, we'd love to know.
The full recording of the 1963 dramatisation of The Voyage of the Scorpion is on our website, forces.net/radio, and look for On Demand.
You're listening to Forces Radio. BFBS. Hoot and Roar, 100 years of 84 Squadron.
Following the Second World War, 84 became a transport squadron in 1953, moved from the Canal Zone to Aden in 1956, and as Aden closed down 11 years later, 84's traditions were being maintained in the Gulf. The Search and Rescue Squadron, or SAR as we know it today, took on this primary duty when it moved to Cyprus in 1972 with Whirlwind Mark 10 helicopters. It was split into two flights, A flight in Akrotiri, a multi-role unit responsible for SAR duties, and B flight operating in the support role with the United Nations in Nicosia. Mike Chappell was part of 84 Squadron when it settled in Cyprus.
In my first tour out here, there were six RAF squadrons based here. Six. A Lightning Squadron, two Vulcan Squadrons, a Hercules Squadron, 84, of course, helicopters, and a Nimrod Squadron. So it was one heck of a place, you know, so noisy, active 24 hours a day. So that was my first tour. Second tour, as boss of the squadron, we were the only active squadron out here. We as an association have our own memorabilia. We keep a collection of junk, silverware, records, photographs, that sort of thing. So we have our own memories, which we bring out every year at our own reunion. And when you go and look at those, both fixed wing and rotary memories, it hits you there. It really makes you feel proud of being part of a fantastic squadron.
My name is Reg Wargent. I was a pilot with the detached flight of 84 Squadron from the beginning of 1978 until the beginning of 1982. I was the duty pilot at Nicosia on Boxing Day in 1981, and we're just about to sit down to lunch, and the phone goes and voice says, "Oh, hello Reg, this is Derry." Now Derry is a colonel, he's the force medical officer based up at Nicosia. "What's the problem?" He said, "I've got this young wife and she's pregnant, and she's due, we think she might be starting." He said, "Not a panic, Reg," he said, "but if we could pop her in one of your helicopters and take her down to Akrotiri, that'd be grand." "That's not a problem." About 15 minutes later, I'm up at the squadron, all kitted out, ready to go. It was only a 30-minute standby. You had to be airborne within 30 minutes. By this time, the colonel's jumping from one leg to the other. "What's the problem?" "Well, she's actually coming on a bit faster than I'd expected. So if we can get a move on, you know." And the ambulance is there, the medical staff are there, the lady in difficulty is there, there's a nurse, there's a husband, there's my crewman, and they're all having a bit of a panic. So we get airborne and off we go, and the colonel's voice is rising. "I just wished I'd been the Starship Enterprise, because if I could have walked down to TPMH rather than struggled along at 90 miles an hour, it would have been so much better." We were flying over Limassol, or past Limassol, at 1,000 feet, and it happened, and she had the baby, little girl.
In 2000, they were called to rescue the crew of a Cypriot launch sinking off the coast of Limassol. The following year, the Western Sovereign Base area suffered one of the worst nights of rioting in the history of the island, when demonstrators attacked the police station in Episcopi and 84's crew took injured police officers from the scene to hospital. On a more celebratory note, in 2001, BFBS presenter Mark Humphreys was on the island and helped mark their 84th anniversary at a big bash.
Everybody was wearing the T-shirts, there were mugs flying around, everybody wanted a piece of the merchandise with the Scorpion on it, and Hoot and Roar 84 is 84. They put together an amazing event. There were bands on, there was DJs on. What a party.
Parties and social gatherings are part and parcel of 84 Squadron, and of course, that includes mess functions.
I'm Jamie McVicker. I'm the voluntary bandmaster at Akrotiri.
And how many mess functions have you performed to 84 Squadron in particular?
Oh, goodness me. Last year we did 17 or 18 mess functions, I think, and of 84 Squadron, probably about 4 or 5, but we enjoy doing those. They're always good fun. And also, of course, we play their favourite tune for them as well that asked us to do a couple of years ago. So we did a little arrangement of I Want to Be Like You.
And what's the background to that song in particular? As many people know, it's from the Disney film The Jungle Book.
It is. I believe that 84 Squadron have a squadron song, Shaibar Blues. I think it was from an RAF base they were stationed at in Iraq some time ago. And the words of it are still carried on to the new tune, but the old tune they had for it was quite slow and not as exciting. And somebody a few years ago, I think, discovered that I Want to Be Like You fits the words quite well. So that became the tune that they sing the words to. We enjoy playing it. It's a little tuba solo at the beginning and some drums going all the way through it, and of course everybody joins in if we do it later on in the evening especially.
BFBS Original Forces Programmes.
Hoot and Roar, 100 years of 84 Squadron.
For more than 30 years, the Yellow Sea Kings have been a welcome sight for those in distress around the UK.
The call mark in the end, they said, stand down, your job is done. Meaning that the rescue from here in Ilfracombe was the last ever to be carried out by an RAF search and rescue crew.
The public really came to understand what search and rescue was all about when Prince William, Flight Lieutenant Wales, began his duties as an RAF Sea King pilot at RAF Valley in Wales.
When you're flying along at night in Snowdonia and other mountains and you've got 40 knot winds, the clouds down to about 200 feet and you're trying to get through to find someone who's either broken their leg or is lost on the hill, it gets quite interesting. You have to use all four of you, put your brain power together and your skill and basically hope that, you know, you can actually get there and help.
In 2015, it was announced that the role of search and rescue in the UK will be handed over to a civilian contractor. In the Falkland Islands, though, the RAF Sea King Search and Rescue Service remained until 2016, leaving Cyprus as the final location to house the last remaining RAF Search and Rescue Squadron in the world.
SSC Glyn Davis, I'm the FOA on the 84 Squadron Operation Desk. We'll keep up to date with the flying programme, make sure they're getting airborne on time, they're landing on time, we'll book their refuels, if they need anything, if any emergencies come in, we're the first on the phone to take that emergency call. It's great working with the air crew, being able to go flying as well. It's the only time I'm ever going to get to work on the search and rescue side of things.
And what was it about the job that brought you here in the first place?
I think it's the search and rescue side of it. I knew I was never going to get on it in the UK, obviously due to it closing. When you receive that call or when that red phone goes, you answer it, it's all go. You're getting all the information down as much as you can, you're passing it to the crews. It's really good working under that kind of pressure.
And what would you say is your biggest achievement since being out here?
Bringing in the Gecko system, which is a tablet form that goes with the crews on the cabs. Rather than having lots of documents carrying on, they put it all in that tablet form and they have all the maps on there as well. They can form routes, danger areas on there. And it was myself who actually brought that into the squadron.
My name is Corporal Ryan Lamborn and I work in survival equipment section. We service all the equipment ready to go onto the aircraft. We also make sure we hold all the kit serviceable, ready for any search and rescue requirements. And without us, they can't fulfil their daily role. So we provide all the equipment for them to go and do their search and rescue training, ready for any ejectees that may happen. One of the biggest challenges is being on 24-hour call-out, just in case any SAR shouts do go ahead. So you have to be obviously in work within 30 minutes.
I'm Carol Mangan. I'm the Ops Officer on 84 Squadron. Basically, I would say I'm the mother of 84 Squadron.
Tell me about the view you've got from your office at the moment.
It's right out onto the airfield. It's like a daily air show for us because we see everything taking off and landing. And to the right, I've got the dispersal with two of our helicopters.
And how long have you been here for?
I've been here just over 3.5 years.
How have you seen Akrotiri in particular change over those years?
I would say it's completely changed. change from when I first arrived. It was very quiet, Sleepy Hollow a little bit, and within about the first 6 to 8 months of me being here, it changed completely into an operational base. We've explored as many uses as we possibly can for the helicopter. We've only got a small asset, but it's been used in lots and lots of different ways, and it's helped us to explore extra capabilities that we didn't know we necessarily had. Communication is key, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult because you're talking different languages from Army, RAF, Navy, and make sure that they understand the capabilities of what 84 can deliver.
Call sign is Grifter 83, 070 22 knots at the moment, blue 30 kVs. Cloud is up above 13,000 feet, plus 15, 1018.
I'm Flight Sergeant Bart Simpson. I'm the Winchman Training Officer on 84 Squadron. The medical training is a big part of what we do. We're not clinicians by trade, you know, we're all aviators by trade. About 15 years ago, we realised that we weren't potentially giving our survivors the best service that they deserved, and therefore we got on board with the pre-hospital paramedic training. And that's why the majority of guys here are state-registered paramedics.
Squadron leader Rich Simpson, OC 84 Squadron. Last year, in fact, we spent 5 days helping the Cypriots control and extinguish what were the largest Cypriot fires in recent history, just north of Troodos, dropping over 200 tonnes of water, 158 buckets, and that resulted in a letter from the President of Cyprus direct to David Cameron, the Prime Minister then, to say thank you for 84 Squadron's part in that operation. To have that letter in my hand, you know, where it's referring directly to 84 Squadron, is a very proud moment. It's one of those squadrons where every single day we do something that's rewarding, and it will be, you know, in our memories forever.
Flight Lieutenant Ben Welch, I'm the 2IC here on 84 Squadron. Op Shader is the main effort at the moment, really, for ACTERIA and the Royal Air Force. We're here to provide search and rescue cover for the jets whilst they're airborne within our AOR. It's good to be here supporting that, and it's also helping us to bring the squadron on and keep the squadron alive in terms of its relevance in today's Royal Air Force.
The squadron also received another message of thanks last year when they rescued Dr. Eamon Jessop and his wife from their boat, which came into a bit of difficulty.
Well, we set off on what should have been a sort of gentle 8-hour sail from Paphos to go into Limassol Harbour. Unfortunately, the forecasts turned out to be quite unreliable, and unfortunately, a strong easterly breeze started to blow up about 5 hours into the sail. As we headed around the point of Akrotiris, gales up to 30, 35 knots started to blow quite unexpectedly. And at that stage, we realised we were in trouble. The boat hit the rocks, keeled over, and we were into distress situation, calling Mayday and setting off the flares. Three people in camouflage walking out towards us and shouted, throw a line, throw a line. And we just fell into the water holding the line with crashing waves and wind around us, and dragged ourselves over to those good people who had come out from Akrotiri. We were taken into Akrotiri, and I can't praise them strong enough. They were so wonderful. They looked after us in the casualty department. Put us up very kindly in Dickerson that night, which was superb of them. Without search and rescue that night, I don't think we would be here now, really. Really, really important service.
Dr. Eamon Jessop is one of many that have been rescued by 84 Squadron in its 100 years. And as the RAF's last remaining search and rescue squadron, it was no wonder they held a big celebration for the anniversary. Captain Mike Blackburn, Station Commander at RAF Akrotiri.
Unique experience in my aviation career to see the versatility of this particular asset. The Griffin R2 that 84 Squadron flies does a huge amount for us here at British Forces Cyprus. It does force protection of the base. It's on 24/7 alert to assist us with that. It's got an emergency response role, which currently involves search and rescue and overland. But importantly here, in terms of our relationship with the Republic of Cyprus, it helps us with a thing we call defence engagement. What has struck me about this small but perfectly formed squadron is the strategic value of it and what it's achieved this year. So absolutely fantastic.
84 Squadron are the last remaining RAF squadron for search and rescue in the world. How does it feel to have them right here in Akrotiri?
When you've had a capability and it draws to a close. It is a sad occasion. I mean, UK has taken the decision that search and rescue will be delivered by other agencies. So search and rescue has been certainly part of my life. I'm a Nimrod navigator, and search and rescue is one of the four key tasks that we held dear to our hearts, and it makes a valuable contribution. To be the last SAR unit at Cyprus with such a huge amount of assets flying off for here at the minute is great.
You've seen all the celebrations take place this year. It must have been such a proud moment for you being here for such a special year.
Oh yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. We were really privileged that AOC 22 group came, Air Vice Marshal Andy Turner, who 84 Squadron all know and love. The Rotary Wing are quite a small community in many ways in the Air Force, and they all know each other. So to have their two-star officer come out and celebrate with them was brilliant, and his speech really was inspirational. But actually, what topped it was Squadron Leader Simpson and his merry squadron producing such a fine display of drill on parade. And the band, the army band that accompanied, were absolutely superb. So it really was a spectacle.
I do hope that Scorpion's Plunger continues to be your spirit of endeavour, and you will fly forward in the face of all adversity for the next 100 years. Many thanks for your service today, a spectacular parade, and I look forward to a magnificent party later. Thank you.
Especially to see so many previous members of 84 Squadron come over to Cyprus, meet each other, and so many generations all in one place.
I was really taken by that, and it compelled me to write a letter just to the chairman of the association and just say thanks very much for coming over. I mean, their enthusiasm to travel this distance in itself is laudatory. The tales that they told during the anniversary dinner that night, it really, really added to the whole occasion and added a degree of gravitas we might not have had the association not turned up. To the best squadron in the Royal Air Force, happy birthday.
It's fantastic. It's something that you're not going to get to do that often, and to be part of a 100th celebration. To those of us that are serving now on 84 Squadron and to those that have served in the past, just thank you, really, because you've left us a squadron that has got a rich, diverse history, and it's fantastic to be a part of. And those of us that are on the squadron now are proud to be serving and look forward to continuing on 84 Squadron and see it well into the future.
A huge congratulations on reaching 100 years. They are the only squadron which has always been based overseas in the RAF, and we are at the moment the only overseas voluntary band as well, so we've got that in common too.
It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been emotional at times, but it's been really lovely to work with so many professional people.
Happy birthday to 84 Squadron. Keep fighting the good fight and hoot and roar.
I'm very privileged and very lucky to be in command whilst the 100th anniversary goes on. A magical squadron with a very colourful history. For me, it's been fascinating learning about 84 as I've been in command and working with some of the fascinating personalities that once formed 84 Squadron. And to everybody, past, present and future, it's a fantastic squadron, and I have no regrets and have enjoyed every single second of it.
Sure, they're going to be celebrating this anniversary this week. No doubt your health will be drunk.
Wish them all the very best of luck from me. Quite sure they're still the best squadron in the Air Force.
Hoot and roar. 100 Years of 84 Squadron was presented and produced by Jess Bracey and executively produced by Mario Chrysostomou. Forces Radio BFBS would like to thank 84 Squadron, their association, the Imperial War Museum and Misty McCready. You can listen to this programme anytime you like and see associated images and video of 84 Squadron at forces.net/radio.